Okay. Well, thanks, Josh. Thanks for making time today. Hi, everybody. We are here in chapter 7 of Discipling. It's been a number of weeks, actually months, and talking with our different elders and pastors and staff, and it's been fun so far. And I think that many I've appreciated, many people sharing how they're listening, actually, surprisingly, believe it or not, right? So
Awesome.
people actually do listen and have been following along. So really grateful that there's that, there's a few out there. And then what's cool too, as we're going through this podcast, as we're going through the book, to know that we have branches. We have Josh Feaster, who's been going and doing the same thing and walking through the book. So there's just this this energy, around discipling. And so yeah, so this afternoon we have Pastor Josh with us, and I know I've always had him in my back pocket as someone that would want to have this conversation and just talk about all that there is that we can talk about having to do with discipling. So this is just a small book, as you know. We're just going through Discipling by Mark Dever, and a lot of our conversation here has been about, the what of discipleship, what it looks like, what it's not. And just for those who are catching up and listening, it's always good just to reset and be reminded, what discipling is. And we don't really want to, overspeak about this, but we do want to define it and make sure that we're clear. And it is about, as we're loving Jesus, we're helping other people love Jesus, right? We're helping other people learn and follow and obey what Jesus has called us to do. Even, we think about Matthew 28, we think about the Great Commission, and we think about the call to make disciples, and we want to be faithful in doing that. And specifically in our church, at Cornerstone, building a culture where this is normal. It's where it's in the language that we speak. It's the air that we breathe, that we are in one another's lives, and we're doing good and loving people well. And the best way that we can do good and love people well is to encourage them to love Jesus, right? So, yeah. So this, like I said, so far, a lot of conversation about, what is discipling and where. And so we're actually pressing into like some real practical things here. And I was looking at this chapter and thinking, it seems, and I could tend to oversimplify things in my mind about like how things are. And I even wondered about this as we talk about the question of who we disciple. It seems pretty straightforward, but then there are some questions about wisdom and just practice that lead to good conversations, and so that's why we're here today. But that was a long preamble, Josh. I know it's been a while. So any I don't know, any introductory thoughts as we think about this chapter?
First of all, I want to say thank you, Francis, for doing this. And I just praise God for your commitment to helping us be a church that's passionate about helping other people walk with Jesus. And so I know that you have made sacrifices to consistently put out this podcast and do a million other things, actually. So I praise God for you, and I know that's a work of the Spirit in your life, but I see it, and really grateful for your influence on the church and on me personally. So, and then I love having this conversation with you. I love having this conversation with anybody. So if anybody's out there and just wants to talk discipleship, just want you to know, I would love to talk about discipleship at any time, because it's something that I want to become better at. I was talking with my boys recently and just thinking about their life ahead and looking back on my life a little, and just thinking, man, you want to be a person at the end of your life that has made an impact for Jesus Christ. And I was just telling them that it's not so much about what particular job you have or anything like that, but if you just commit to trying to develop friendships where you help people know Jesus better, one person at a time, to be able to look back at your life. If you really are committed to becoming better and better at that, man, you're going to look back at your life and it's going to be shocking the way the Lord has used you. And you might not be this guy that likes to teach in front of a lot of people or whatever, or you might be, who knows, but I just think that I can see just the potential for them. So I'm excited as they look forward, and then excited as I look forward to the rest of my life to become better and better about this. And so part of becoming better, of course, is thinking about practical things, not just like sort of talking theoretically, but like actually getting down to the nitty gritty and thinking about who do we actually
disciple? Yeah, the object of discipling are people, So, and so there's a lot of considerations and thoughts about how we think through who we spend time with, right? So we're finite people. We can't meet with a lot of people at the same time. So there's wisdom about how we choose. But yes, one last thing I did want to mention too, because you made the point about making sacrifices and eagerness to share. And I just for you out there, it is, the week of August 3. And I just want to highlight that, for you folks that are listening, today's August 5. In the Mac household, very, very busy. A lot of birthdays and, Josh is leaving for a Norway trip. Woo-hoo. In a couple of days. So Josh could have easily said, hey, I don't have time for this. I have so many things to do. And rightfully so, I think we could all agree. But I think we often talk about just making time for important things that are high priority. And I think you're evidencing that for us. Mm-hmm. So thank you for modeling that for me. If you can make time, in the midst of all that, to have this conversation, it makes it a very easy decision for me. And so glad that we can be here together. So we're thinking about discipling here, and it's great how Dever he sets these up. So he set up this chapter talking about two different people, just to give us an idea about how in the church, there's so many different types of people. So in the book, he describes a guy named Bob. Bob being a guy who is, sharp, theologically, doctrinally sound, able to teach and speak about different things, but in his life also relationally cold, it sounds like, it reads, and then not loving people well and not really showing much fruit from relationally. So there's this guy, Bob, and then there's another guy, Bill, fictional Bill, but Bill, who's kind of the opposite of Bob, where he is warm, he is relational, he is quick to love people practically, but very thin on doctrine, and would not be able to explain or defend a lot of what the Bible might say, and even indicating here that doesn't read the Bible much, right? So it's helpful to see how, obviously these are fictional people, but just to illustrate how in the church there is a wide range of people, and how even if we think about our church, there's probably a lot of people that might fit either of those categories, but a lot of people that fit in between. So what is the conclusion? It's that, discipling isn't for just any one type of person, certainly not one person that who has matured in either of those areas, whether they're mature relationally or mature in their understanding of doctrine or theology, because there are areas where many of us lack in those things. So in the same way that Bob needs to grow in loving people, the way that Jesus loved people, and in the same way that Bill needs to learn in growing and loving God's word, they both are good prospects. They're both good candidates for being in a discipling relationship. And that's really the idea that, at the same time, both are able to be in a discipling relationship and to be discipled. So they both have strengths, both have weaknesses, and, not any of us are going to have all of those things, being, strong and relationally strong in doctrine, but, it doesn't, you don't have to be, you know, you can have weaknesses in a lot of those areas, but you'd still be a good candidate to be in a discipling relationship, helping, leading, and teaching, correcting, modeling, loving, all those things to help do good to someone else, right? So then, so given that, we have to make the we have to apply wisdom about, okay, I have a finite amount of time. How do I make decisions? How do I form thoughts about, you know, who I approach, right? So even let me ask you, and I, you know, so again, this stuff is totally unscripted. So I'm not, you know, Josh has no idea I'm about to ask this question, but it does fall in line. Like, so for Josh, like for us, for you and me, like we are in discipling relationships. Mm-hmm. I do think about, you know, how I spend my time, mm-hmm. who I spend my time with. And then that inevitably means not spending time with other people.
Right.
You also do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so just give us, you know, like, I don't know if anyone's ever asked you, like, who you do spend time with.
That's right.
Now, and then, like, how you might have applied some of these
mm-hmm.
Principles, or, you know, how these principles might, like, slot exactly in how you chose to spend time with the people you do spend time with, you know?
Well, it'll be fun to work through these, for sure. One thing I wanted to just say at the beginning is I appreciate this reminder that everybody needs help. You know, as you come to church, it might, I don't know if it disappoints you or it's just helpful for you to realize that, look around the church, every single person there needs help to become more like Jesus in one way or the other. You know, you're talking to the one guy who's telling you all these Greek words. He needs help. There's some way he needs help. You're talking to this other person who's so sweet and kind, and they need help. Everybody needs help. So I think sometimes people are suspicious of everybody and they're like, oh, everybody's a mess, you know, deep down. That's not completely true. God does sanctify people. They are, I mean, we're all a mess in one sense and then not a mess in another. You know, we can grow and be mature. Our flesh is always going to be fleshly till we get to heaven. So we're always got to be watching out, but we do mature. And yet at the same time, like, the guy who is mature still needs help. That's part of being mature, is actually realizing I need help. So part of what I love about getting involved in discipleship relationships and is not just that I get to, you know, say all kinds of things to somebody else, but I know that whoever I get involved in a discipleship relationship with, God's going to use to teach me as well. So I think usually you'll learn more through your discipleship relationship. So don't let that be a barrier. One, thinking that this person's got it all together, or there's nobody that needs my help, or I've got so much to learn. I like to disciple because I've got so much to learn, actually. And it's part of what pushes us forward. But yeah, in terms of how do I choose who I disciple? I don't know that I've thought of it quite in those terms exactly. But...
or maybe giving a rundown of I'm springing on.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if you think about last, you know, like the time you spend and the time you do spend with people.
Yeah.
And I hear it, you know. So like I'm encouraged.
Yes.
But just to give, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not
gonna
say like specific names, but just like able to say like.
Well, I love how he works it through. Yeah. A lot of it's actually just how he does this. So, I mean, he starts with family members.
Yeah.
And I have to ask myself, am I actively engaged in discipling those closest to me? And so I have a big family, and there's always more intentionality that's needed to disciple them well. And they're all different ages. So I've got to think about each one of them and where they're at. And now some of them are getting married. So I also have a responsibility to those that they marry. So
that's a whole nother podcast too, just to how you do that.
That's right.
I kind of want to ask that, but I know that it can go down a path, but like thinking about how you have like all the, all the ages, you know, of in your family, all the different seasons.
Yes.
So how, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation of how you do that differently.
But I would, I would just encourage you, as you get excited about discipling, there are guys, people out there who love to disciple people outside their family and are letting their family kind of There's not much going on at home. And so you don't want to be the kind of person where everybody's cheering your name who doesn't know you well. you want to go home and know that you have been faithful to those at home, and you're living it out with those in your home, and you are seeking their spiritual good. And there's an advantage there. You see them a lot. They see you a lot, life on life. That's part of how God designed it. But there's also a challenge, you know, with family members. Sometimes discipling family members can be more difficult in a weird way, especially as they get older, you know. There's lots of ways to mess it up. Mm-hmm. Lots of ways for our own sin to get in the middle. But we want to make sure, okay, we're going after those close to us. So I just got back from a coffee with Levi and Link, actually. And okay. So sitting down, and Levi and I started going through Romans together. And then this time Lincoln came because he's going to school soon, and we're trying to get some good spiritual conversations in as we look forward to this next transition. I think he will go on next, talks about church membership. And so, or he actually talks about spiritual state. We can come back to that. But so I have a unique responsibility. We all have. It's interesting. There was somebody recently who has been asking to get together and isn't coming to our church. And so I have to think through, like, okay, I have a responsibility to him as a Christian. And yet there's all these other people in our church that I have a specific responsibility to. Maybe you could say a primary responsibility to. And so that's sometimes a little bit difficult to think about, because it's hard to say no to somebody. And then certainly it feels weird to them for you to feel kind of distant, like I'll get together with you, but maybe not quite as intensively as they are hoping. And that's, I think, because people don't always have the same view of the local church. Mm-hmm. And so that's a kind of a new concept to a lot of people. And so that's actually, I had to have a conversation with him about my responsibilities and my finiteness and the commitment I have here to Cornerstone.
And then what do you think about this comment? Because I thought it was, I don't think he's meaning to be provocative, but it naturally is when he described, or he said that discipling someone from an unhealthy or doctrinally weak church may do more harm than good.
Yes, I have a question mark next to that one.
I knew it. Yeah. So, how does he explain it? What is the rationale?
Yeah, he says you're enabling them to remain in a church that does not teach the Bible. So they're getting food from you.
Yeah.
And maybe that's keeping them from being desperate
to make a move.
Yeah, make a move. Yeah, I guess the pushback on that would be, but how will they know to make a move if they don't have somebody in their life who is helping them think about what it means to be part of a biblical church? So that's probably one of those ones where we have to apply some wisdom, knowing the individual person. And are we through our relationship allowing them to continue to compromise when it comes to a local church? Well, that's not actually loving. Or are we helping them get enough information and enough spiritual strength so they can say, I'm going to make this decision to move to a local church? So you have to kind of decide that.
Because it's kind of like, it's not evangelism, right? Because obviously, these people, they're in Christ, they're believers, but there is something that's lacking. And there is a great deal of love for them.
Yeah.
Why we want to be in their lives, and we want to teach them and provide that shepherding that way. But it does, that's why I think it is provocative, right? Because it seems kind of harsh a little bit, but it's nice to be thinking that way a little bit, to not automatic, because I think sometimes there is that idea of like, who, you know, where else are they going to hear it, like, and taking kind of the hero complex a little bit, and by saying like, if they don't hear it from me, they're not getting from their church, so like I have to feel that.
Yes.
So I think, and just my observation and what I notice is that tends generally to be the case.
Yes.
So to push back on that a little bit, but
that's right.
There's a lot of wisdom too.
I was reminded in practice, as you do that, it's kind to let people, to try to let people know why you're making the decision that you're making, because even recently, I thought that was kind of obvious to someone, and it wasn't. And so it was tempting for them to feel like they got the cold shoulder or just confused. And then coming back and being able to do a little more explaining in terms of local church, what it means to be part of a local church. And so that started to help them make sense of decisions about time and who I could disciple.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to explain for sure. So I start with myself. Am I learning and growing? How's my relationship with God? Then I think about my family. Am I really pursuing the opportunities that God has given me there? And then I think about the local church. And then obviously I'm always looking for, always looking for people who want to learn and who actually are humble and want to grow. So I feel like if you see that in somebody, then I mean,
that's easy.
Yeah, run as long as you can run with them. And then I think as a leader, you have a particular responsibility to disciple others who can disciple others. And so I think as a pastor and all of us, we're always trying to disciple every single person that we meet with and be discipled by every person that we meet with. So even right now, hopefully through this conversation, I'm being discipled by you and we're having this opportunity to mutually edify one another. So there's a constant engagement with every member at that level. And then there are people that are in special need of care. So it's not, as a leader, it's not like, oh, I only disciple those who are going to be future leaders, because there are going to be people, we have a responsibility as shepherds to the whole church, and there are going to be people that are in a special need of care. But then on the other hand, you are limited. And so as a leader, I want to help men who are discipling others, disciple others well. And so I have a couple different avenues in which I can do that. The staff who are here at church, the elders that I meet with on a regular basis. And so I put a lot of effort into thinking about how I can be as much spiritual good to them as I possibly can be. And then it's true that you also look around you and think about the people that are in your life, or one new habit that I've developed is in the morning or evening, but morning for me, I guess, I'm thinking of the day before and who I interacted with and what did I learn from them and what did I learn from my conversation with them, and then what spiritual needs might they have and how can I pray for them or be of help to them as a result of the conversations that I've had the day before. And so that's helpful, because if I'm not, maybe this is a little more broad, I guess I'm answering your question a little more broadly, but if I'm not learning from anybody ever, then I'm like, that's weird. I had all those conversations and there's not one thing that I could love about God or be different.
Yeah.
From those conversations, that means I wasn't really listening. And then if I can't think of one way that I could be of help to that person, even at least in prayer, but maybe relationally, then that's also weird to me. But so that would be thinking about when it comes to who I disciple, I'm thinking about who does the Lord allow me to interact with on a regular basis, and then where's there a gap for spiritual input. And so it might be that there's somebody that needs a month, you know, there might be somebody that needs a year, there might be somebody who just needs a conversation.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And that's interesting. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess like you, it bears itself pretty quickly, evidence itself right away. But yeah, how when that, I don't know if you're able to expand on that a little bit more when you see people, and if it's clear to you that yeah, like whatever you can provide does only merit a short amount of time. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, well, one thing I think all of us probably need to get better at is in the conversations we have with people to be present,
mm-hmm.
and to be thinking about what they're saying,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and what that means and what they're going through.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, it's rare. It's most people that if you do that for a little while, there's going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
Something that they reveal about themselves, and so you just kind of,
you're able to know, you're able to
like, you're right just away thinking,
see, yeah,
you're just thinking, and then maybe the next day, the next morning, you're thinking, oh, I had this conversation with Francis yesterday. What did he encourage me about when it comes to the Lord? Did he share anything that seemed to be like a burden to him that I could be praying about? Oh, is there that particular burden that he shared? Is there something that I could be of encouragement to him?
Mm-hmm.
What could I do this week to encourage him in that regard? Man, it might be that then leads to, opens a door to further needs to get together, or that might be like, oh, mm-hmm. hug and
yeah.
Francis, like, I got yeah. it. Yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, and that, how you're describing that, it sounds like clearly, you know, there's, you know, for you, it's something that does come, I don't know if it comes naturally, but it's something that, you know, like, as you're talking about, like, you're rattling these things off, right?
Yeah.
Which, as I'm hearing it does take a lot of intentionality, you know, and just being deliberate about
right.
wanting to do good for someone else, mm-hmm. right? And I know we're kind of chuckling because you're saying like be present, but mm-hmm. like, because it is easy to not be present because we're thinking about other things or thinking about ourselves and not really being aware and well present with the, you know, what is being shared, right? So, because
yeah.
it sounds like it is a discipline to mm-hmm. be that active and mm-hmm. to be that intentional and mm-hmm. in being a good listener.
Yes.
To be able to pick up on those things
mm-hmm.
and then to want to move someone forward,
mm-hmm.
you know? So,
we could yeah. always talk about our weaknesses and some of our strengths are weaknesses. So we were just joking earlier about how one of my weaknesses is not always having a lot to say about what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
But the strength to yeah. that is I really do want to hear what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is more interesting
yeah.
to me. So, but that I think is partially a discipline, like to, you know, this with your kids, like there, it's not always that somebody's interesting because they're interesting. It's you're interested in them because you love them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see the lack of interest, then I don't think of it just as like that person's boring. I think of it more like I'm not being loving. Like, so what my job now is to try to love them by being interested in who they are. And that can help me be more present. I think another weakness, you have a strength, like, so one of your strengths is really going after people. So I think that one of my weaknesses is I do better when somebody else is, there's some movement there or these mm-hmm. random kinds of opportunities as opposed to just like, hey, I see you the next 3 months. We're going to get together on Fridays.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an area that I can get better at a little more strength when it comes to not just responding, but proactively being deliberate that way. So there's a lot of I have a lot of neat opportunities as a pastor
yeah.
Already built into my life for discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all in process here.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I wouldn't have thought about that about you, you know, but there are certain things that are natural for some of us. And a lot of it is, like you say, like listening or, you know, like, yeah. So prior to this conversation, you know, Josh and I were talking about how sometimes we can have propensities one way or the other, whether we like to talk a lot and to like to share and to open ourselves up. And it seems to me that there is, a lot of people tend to do that. Like whatever they have to say seems to be more interesting than whatever they have to hear. But at the same time, there are, and I think Josh, you represent the opposite, where you're much more interested in hearing what other people have to say and less interested in sharing. Mm-hmm. And then, but sometimes, and that works out well, you know, like, cause there are a lot of people who want to share with you, but then there could be situations where like people want to hear from you.
Totally.
And, you know, there's an absence of that. So that makes a little bit of a struggle there. But
yeah. I was thinking I was telling the boys just an hour ago about how it's so like in life, you always have the opportunity for growth. And you could look at that as like discouraging, or I tend to look at it as super exciting. Like, what is God going to do with me? Like, I can change.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I am excited to see over the next 30, 40 years how different I am than how I came out of the box. You know, like the Lord has sanctified me. And so, there's certainly, as I look at my life when it comes to discipleship, I'm thankful for what the Lord has taught me, but there's so many ways to grow, and it's fun to see. It's fun to see how he changes us.
Yeah, that's why, you know, one of the key areas he was describing here too was, looking for people that have that posture of humility and wanting to receive correction or instruction. I mean, obviously, no one likes to be told whatever they're doing wrong. I mean, like, then it gets old and tired. Mm-hmm. it takes like a supernatural humility to keep wanting to lean into that. But that, I mean, that is ultimately the posture because of how you're describing that. You know, there's just so much, more opportunity to learn and to be better and to have good friends around you to gently do that.
Mm-hmm. There are two qualities he put in here that I think are unusual. People we might not think about when it comes to choosing who to disciple. One is where he talks about somebody different than you.
Yeah, right. Yes, yeah.
So that I believe in that, like in a lot of ways, but it comes with challenges.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. So I think that we all have to recognize the temptation to just stick with people that we understand, like, and they're more interesting to us. It is a lot easier, and there's some benefits. I mean, but at the same time, like, the opportunity to grow and be of help to people who are different than you, and to magnify just sort of like how different the gospel is than, I don't know, liking the Lakers or the kind of unity we have, that we're willing to get involved in relationships with people that are interested in different things than us, have whole different ways of acting or things that excite them than us because we love Jesus. And the potential for your own personal change. That's why I love a cross-cultural church, to be honest. It's goes a lot slower. You'll find that churches where everybody kind of looks alike often grow differently just because it's just kind of how we work as humans. It's easier, but man, the opportunity to become somebody different. I just think that being in relationships with people that are a little different than you, it just fast forwards that.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about the church, I mean, I know, there's many levels of being cross-cultural and But I do appreciate the diversity. I mean, not just ethnically and culturally, but just in terms of even like age and just a lot of just the variety within our church, and how too I see the people within our church just going after it with people that are different than them,
right.
So it really is making the gospel and our sameness, our kinship in Christ, being the one thing that unites us. I mean, it's so obvious, but I think that's really beautiful, seeing mm-hmm. it amongst the members in our church. And I say often, I really do observe and watch how people interact, and I see that is not easy for me. I mean, obviously we like to be comfortable, and we want we like to enjoy things that are natural for us, or they just are easy for us. So it does take being a little bit more deliberate and intentional, like to go outside of what is comfortable for us, and to learn. So I think that's the opportunity there.
You've probably seen, I remember this as a young pastor, like you'd have a church that was maybe pretty like everybody just stands super still, everybody super serious. If somebody ever raised a hand in church, they would be like, okay, this is so distracting, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That I'm giving trying to give a little picture of people that are just very stoic in a sense, a certain kind of person, I think you can imagine it. And then somebody else comes in who's super emotional,
mm-hmm.
and thinking, man, now the church has a chance to not be a caricature. Like that person who is a little bit different can come in and develop relationships, and through those relationships, we all move a little bit to become a little bit more like Christ and represent Christ well. But it's hard, man. It's hard for that person who's a little bit likes to move, and then they're in this room with people that don't. This is just one illustration, but and so their temp, what they want to do is go find a whole people mm-hmm. they can understand, And yet, I often thought, oh man, give the rest of us a chance, being here is hard, but I totally get it, but you being here also gives us an opportunity to see somebody different.
Right. And like you're adding
that they love happening. Jesus, and maybe I need, we've seen
differently.
I haven't thought so much about my need to talk more and share more until I happen to be around guys who talk a lot more. And then I'm like, oh wow, this is a thing in my life. Something. There's a reason why they're doing this, and the reason why it's helpful. And now I have a chance to try to become somebody a little different. So when it comes to discipleship, I know the instinct is to be like, who is like me? And I get it. But if you're like, well, I'm not sure I fully understand that person, that could also be an opportunity for both of you to grow. And then I like the one that he says about proximity and schedules. 'Cause part of discipleship, Lord willing, is not just sitting in a coffee shop talking, but also them seeing you deal with a angry child or whatever, talk to your wife about stuff. And so that's a little hard to do if you're not ever able to be close to each other. I think it's the challenge we have of people that live so far from one another. And it's something that as leaders, we have to think through. How do we help develop structures that will enable people to have opportunities to be in the lives of people that live a little closer to them.
It just seems like, it seems pretty obvious, right? But like, that's like it seems like the most obvious in terms of practicality, but it's true. Like there are limitations that we have, and just to recognize those things and to not really fight against it. You want to make it as easy as possible to be in a discipling relationship. And, For the most part, it's like, as long as there is some measure of like friendship and relationship that's growing and building, and it happens to be with the people that are closest to you, it may not fit exactly like what you might want, but if it meets at least the geographic distance checkbox and then the timing checkbox. I mean, you have another brother or sister in Christ, and there's something to learn from that person.
That's right. Yeah.
So I kind of this comes to me. So I'm not exactly sure if this is gonna come out right, but it's kind of like working out, going to the gym. Yeah. Like people, you can come up with the different formulas and different methods and programs for like being physically active. But then oftentimes I hear like, well, the best program is the one that gets you there.
Right.
So as long as you're being active, it's like no matter you're running on a treadmill or you're lifting weights or you're jumping rope, as long as you're active, that's moving you forward.
Yeah.
And kind of the same way here. It's like, the person, the setting, all those things is like, as long as you have a friend and then you're mutually encouraging one another, like that kind of checks the box.
And yeah.
That should be sufficient,
Yeah.
To having a good discipling relationship.
Right.
So, one other thing that we didn't talk about here, and it seems obvious, but maybe for folks that are, not in our circle a little bit, is it seems pretty clear, about gender, but I don't know. Yeah. Just some wisdom about that, like how he talks about how there's, same gender discipling, older women teaching younger women, men discipling men. Seems wisdom is obvious there, but anything to say about that?
Yeah, I would say shout out to godly women who are going after other ladies in the church and just say, you guys really have an important job. And so ladies, that if you can be of such service to the church by loving other ladies and getting together with them and seeking to disciple them, because it's a challenge as a pastor, as an elder. There's a lot of ladies that need discipleship out there, and yet you can disciple through preaching the word and teaching.
There's wisdom there.
Fortunately, I do a lot of ministry with my wife, so. My wife's with me. We're able to have a conversation, the three of us. But in terms of just like actual, what I would consider a discipleship relationship, that's going to be lady to lady. Paul talks about the way to do it. In Titus, he tells Titus to mentor older women so that they can train the younger women. And so I'm kind of old school, but I think it's biblical school. Terms of, Marta interacts with ladies in terms of discipleship, and hopefully I'm an encouragement to Marta. And then I disciple through teaching and maybe a conversation with Marta there with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it seems pretty clear. Yeah, but it just seems it's worth mentioning. And another one, I think the last probably thing is...
People do get confused about that.
Yeah.
Because there are... and it is... The pushback is that we are brother-sister. But the pushback on the pushback is we are sinners and we want to honor God. And God has the best way forward is for ladies to disciple ladies. And even be a little weird about that from the world's perspective. I don't mind.
Sure.
Non-Christians looking at me and thinking that I'm weird.
Right. About yeah. And I mean, there's so much to be said about just being safe and, we're not animals and we're going to just appeal to our base desire, but they're, but at the end of the day, we are. I mean, there is temptation.
Want to be above reproach as well.
I mean, I know it's funny. I know I personally over the years have been called out for that amongst non-Christian friends and saying like it's weird. Like, don't you exercise some level of self-control? Yes. And it's like, well, it's really less about that.
No,
that
there's
just so much about wisdom. And the last point here was just about age, right? So I think age was. There's a comment here just about generally thinking that older to younger is the most reasonable. It seems like that's most obvious, but also there's when you're older you have wisdom to pass on to someone that's younger, but then at the same time there's a caveat about like when you're older if you're not in a place to minister to someone younger and feeling like there is, like, you've reached the end, right? Yes. So, like, it's just pointing out that it kind of goes both ways. Like, there, even if you are older, like, even for me, like, if there's happens to be a younger guy, there is, like you're describing, there's always something to learn, you know? So just yes. because you're older and have reached a certain stage doesn't mean that you're above, you know, receiving wisdom from a younger person.
Yes, I honestly thought that one was a little weird. And then I have to think about, what am I missing?
Yeah.
Why does that feel weird to me to call out age as a factor in who you disciple? Because I don't know that I've ever really thought about it as a factor. And so I'm trying to process why he would say that, because it feels like leaning into a cultural way of thinking, perhaps, that, like, I know as an older guy, I want to go into every relationship knowing that I need to learn.
Right.
And I also know that there's a lot of older guys that need help out there. So we definitely know that your spiritual maturity is not simply determined by how old you are. So maybe in an ideal world it would be like that, but it's not always like that. So maybe he's just being practical and realizing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think there's something to be said about there just being a normal pattern in mm-hmm. general, right? Like, you know, the older you are, there is more wisdom and experience. But I think I read it as not, you know, being a hard and fast rule. And then I think that also just for the folks that are more senior to recognize that, like, that you do have things to learn, you know, so not letting that rule just be the rule,
yes.
be the ultimate rule, but just to say that there is much to learn from the younger Christians,
yes,
and younger believers. And that just speaks to, again, like, being around people that are different from us. And
that's right.
Trying to humble ourselves and see that, we haven't learned everything, you know, so there's much wisdom to receive. So
what I would say to the young guy is that if you're just going in there thinking you know so much better than the older guy, that's silly, you know. But on the other hand, if you're going into relationships with older guys thinking that you never have something to encourage them with, or that your job is merely passive, then that's also a little weird. Like, so I guess, and then the older guy, if he's going into that, he should know, by this time in my life, I should have something to share that's helpful with the younger guy. And yet the kind of humility that he needs to be like, at the same time, God's got a lot of work to do in me. And so I can learn from the guy. I want to learn from the person in front of me. Both need to hear that.
Yeah. Well, we've had some time here.
Yeah.
I think the last thing I want to say is that, we're talking about specifics, you know, like practical items to think about when discipling. There's no magic formula, obviously. A lot of wisdom and a lot of caveats across the board. But just generally speaking, right, the idea is that, you know, we are active and intentional and prayerful about seeking to do good in someone else's life, right? And trusting that all to the Lord, that, you know, the idea that, we're planting seeds. We're putting in time and effort and work, but, you know, God is going to really do the growth. So for us, you know, just being faithful and I think it's just helpful. Yeah, for you, if you're listening here, you know, like, God is wise. God gave you this opportunity to listen. And so we've given some wisdom here. So, just to encourage you to think about people. And I'm sure even as I'm saying that, there are people that are coming to your mind. Don't let that thought pass, you know, think about that person, pray for that person. And yeah, ask the Lord for the means to approach that person to, you know, to have a discipling relationship, you know, either in having them, reciprocally, mutually encouraging one another, but yeah, taking the step to do good in someone else's life.
Yeah, if you're thinking, who can I disciple? That's amazing.
Yeah, that's
awesome. We're so glad for you. Then I would just encourage you to pray. Obviously, Lord, please help me to see the opportunities that are in front of me and to maximize them. And I think sometimes we have such a view of what it would look like to disciple that we think we have no one that we can disciple, because who are we? When, like, if we just dial it back a bit, we can probably look around and think there actually are people in my life that I could do spiritual good to, and intentionally. And if I take some steps to do that with some of those people, see what doors the Lord opens up for that to become maybe a longer kind of friendship. And then run with that. And if you're still wanting help, I mean, Francis, we're here.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's so many people in the church, but yeah, like we're definitely here. We can help you move that along. So, but thank you so much for listening. And yeah, this closes out this chapter 7, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Yeah. Thanks,
Francis. Everybody.